This recording, South Africa 46, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, the itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap him. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Yo, where do I start? You know, when people ask me about my life, what made me, I often joke, but there's some truth in it. I was very lucky. When I was 23, I was dumped by a man. I say that because if my husband had not walked away, leaving me pregnant, not with the first, not with the second, but with the third child, I don't think I would be the woman I am today. I had no dreams, no big dreams, no ambitions, except to go and be a good Makoti, new wife, to his parents out in the rural areas of Madadiele. So that although she found me in town, a town woman always supposed to be loose in the rural areas, I wanted to show them I was a good person. That's my big ambition. Man walks away, I'm sitting there, then I think, how the hell did I end up in this mess? But I had the great fortune, seriously speaking, of having had parents who took their role of parenting seriously. And my being a single parent, something I never saw coming. For me, way back then, a woman without a child, like everybody else in the community, there was something wrong with the woman, either caught red-handed with another man, or she was such a disgustingly lazy person, never cook, never clean, the poor man had to leave. There I was, I hadn't done this or B or not done C and D. I was that horrible, husbandless woman of marriageable age with 3 children. That didn't, for me, mean I would also abandon my children. It was clear I had to be twice the parent I had believed I was going to be. These poor children had no father. I had to be both, so I needed to work and work hard. By this time, I was in domestic work. I did 4 years of domestic work. But you know what? I vowed I wouldn't die a domestic worker. I vowed my two girls would never be domestic workers and my son would never be a garden boy. And, you know, that opened a whole other way of thinking, managing my life, planning, looking ahead. And I never looked back. So I started studying by correspondence. Did my matric by correspondence. I did A-levels, University of London, correspondence. Did UNISA, BA, correspondence. Then I was lucky I got a scholarship. Went and did masters at Columbia University. Then landed a job at the UN. The last 24 years of my working life, I was in New York working for the UN. So my life changed. And for a single parent, at that point in South Africa, to end up with three kids, each of whom has at least one university degree, for me, that was success multiplied. I usually brag when I give a talk, and people, especially if I think they might fall asleep on me. I then say, you know, it may be wrong, this was more than a decade ago. According to the Guinness Book of Record, the longest tongue twister in the world is in isiXhosa. And I said, close your eyes, I'll say it twice. It sounds better with your eyes closed. Iqaqala seqhawukini laqabela entabeni laziqiqaqiqa kuqaqaqa laqhawuka uqhoqhoqo. Then everybody's wide awake then. Iqaqa laseqhawukini laqabela entabeni laziqiqaqiqa kuqaqaqa laqhawuka uqhoqhoqo. That I got that from the Guinness Book of Record way back in 1976 or the longest tongue twister in the world is in isiXhosa. And that's it. It's a children's thing. Iqaqa is a skunk. The skunk of Qaukeni. Iqaqa lase Qaukeni. La qabela entabeni. Climb up the mountain. La ziqiqaqiqa kuqaqaqa and frolicked on the grass. And la qhawuka uqhoqhoqo and broke his neck. How is that for sense? Yeah, that's the famous Q click that even Princess Margaret could say. There was a time the Q click, Mama Africa, Miriam Makeba made it famous, the click song. I can't sing to save my life. That song, she justified, again, it's a children's plaything. We grow up saying that. She took it and made it into a song. The doctor of the road, if you are lost, the doctor of the road is a beetle. He went this way, did the beetle. He went this way, did the beetle. You know, people herding cattle, if they miss one, they take this and say, which way? And the beetle will go this way. Then they think they're pointing it. Hey, it's law, folklore. The beetle will point you in the right way. So that's why the doctor of the road, which way you must go if you are lost. The Kongotuan. When you are desperate, you'll trust even a beetle when you are lost. Again, like the tongue twister is just a children's thing. But the practice of pungu pungu, pungu pungu, like, you know, which way, and pungu pungu, the other name for Gongotuan, pungu pungu, ukupunguza, is to look around, because it goes like, the beetle goes like, pungu pungu, pungu pungu, which way should I go? Xhosa borrowed clicks from Abatwa, the Bushman, and the, we have only the three, the Q click, the lateral X, and the front dental. As amaqiqi earrings, amaqiqi incinci, it is small, you know, variations, because you put a nasal sound like an N, then it changes, you put a G, G, you know, but it's the C click that can be clean or G or N or that kind of thing. G, G, N, G, N.